This is the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 18.
You know what? It's going to go right back to what we just said, because I truly believe that it is a game changer for anybody that's doing 3 to 5 deals a month right now and doing zero deals. If you're doing a bunch and you want to get to 10, and if you're doing none, you need to focus on the retail cash investors and start building relationships with them. So the point is that you are proving that you can provide, that you do want to add value. Retail cash investors, put in the work that it takes to find them and speak with them.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
All right, let's rock and roll. This is Alex Pardo. I'm excited to bring you another Masterclass Flip Empire Show. I got Justin Wilmot on the line here. And before I bring him on, I just want to share a little bit about what I absolutely love about Justin and having him on is that he knows exactly what his passion is. Ever since he was 6 years old, he began surfing, and he got to the point where he started surfing competitively. And what's beautiful about this business and what Justin figured out early on is that he would have to create a business based around systems and automation in order to allow him to do what he's passionate about, which is surfing and spending time with his family. I can relate on a couple different levels in that, you know, if you've been listening to me for some time now, you know that my passion is traveling, spending time with my family. And this business is a fantastic vehicle because it gives you the freedom to do so if you create it so that it serves you and not the other way around. And I think that's a challenge that a lot of people have. And so I think you're going to get a tremendous amount of value from the content that Justin's going to share with us, because he's been able to create his business in a way where, you know, he has time to spend with his family and to surf. And so having said that, Justin, man, are you there?
I'm here, man. Glad to be here. Alex, stoked, man. Thanks for having me, bud.
No, man, absolutely, man. It's my pleasure. So, dude, let's just jump right into it, man. One of the first things I want to kind of kick off the call with is the term cold wholesaling. You know, a lot of people out there think they know what it means, or they have a thought of it. And what you do and what you're known for is JV wholesaling. So what's the difference between the two? And if you could actually start by explaining, when people say cold wholesaling, what exactly do they mean? And then what's your unique take on it?
Cool, man. Glad you asked. So cold wholesaling, I believe, has been thrown around and kind of used in a way that I don't really kind of jive with. And most people tend to just try to find a way to get themselves in the middle of a deal, as I call it, and maybe bring a buyer to a table in the middle of maybe another guy's deal. Kind of daisy chain stuff is what we call it, right? Where it's another guy's deal with another guy's deal. Another guy knows the buyer. Another guy knows the seller.
Right.
And
right.
It's daisy chained. And that's where I believe cold wholesaling has been taken out of context. And so what we do that we call JV wholesaling is where it's very similar to wholesaling, because it is wholesaling. The only difference is that we wholesale our own property. So we go direct to seller, whether it's a motivated seller or a bank. And we also go to contract with other wholesalers. So we'll buy and sell their contract. And so that person becomes our JV partner. So we'll go to a purchase or an assignment contract with them, and then we'll actually assign that contract to our end buyer for a fee. So that's the major difference between co-wholesaling and what we do, which is JV wholesaling.
Okay, fantastic. So let me ask you this then. So if I heard you correctly, you're actually going out and you're taking over other wholesalers' contracts so that now you have equitable interest in the deal, which essentially makes them your partner. The difference is with cold wholesaling, a lot of times, and I know I can only speak for my market here, there's so many quote unquote wholesalers and investors out there that will basically, you know, they'll compile a list of every wholesaler under the sun. They'll compile all these deals and they'll blast it out. But they don't control it. And so what happens is, in my experience from watching these people, is that they spin their wheels marketing all these properties that they have no control over, and very few of them actually end up closing deals and making money. Has that been your experience as well?
Nail on the head, buddy. Nail on the head. And that's exactly it. And that's why I'm sure we'll talk about it in the upcoming moments here, but why it's so critical to have a real relationship with your cash investors. Most of our markets, man, we work with the same three or five guys.
Exactly. So yeah, so it's very similar to, you know, building your cash buyers list. And that's something that we'll get into here in a few minutes. But, you know, so many people, you know, talk about how big their buyers list is. And the truth of the matter is, at least, you know, in our businesses, while we have thousands of people on our buyers list, we're really only talking about 15 to 20 buyers that consistently buy our properties. And so it's kind of the same thing when you JV wholesale, is you really only need to build relationships with 3 to 5 people to constantly do deals on a monthly basis, right?
You got it, buddy. I mean, and I always hammer the point, real relationships. I mean, I just had I have a 9-month-old and a 3-year-old. And
oh, congratulations, man. Well, yeah. I have a 13-month-old, so I'm right in the middle there.
All right, man. Cool, man. Congrats. I know how it is, dude. It's an interesting time. I love it, though. Yeah. But I mean, I even had two of my main buyers were at my kid's birthday party. That's and awesome. So like when I say build a relationship, I mean build a relationship. And by the way, these aren't family who are or anything like that. I mean, I literally sought out, did a deal with them, and then continued to cultivate a relationship and find out exactly what the heck their ultimate investment goals are, and then built my businesses in those particular markets around catering to that.
I love it, man. Well, you know what? That's a perfect segue, because I think, you know, anybody listening in right now, regardless of whether they're at in their business, if they're just getting started and they've never done a deal, or, you know, the guy that's out there, the guy or gal that has flipped hundreds of properties or wholesaled properties, you know, I think this business is about building relationships. So why don't you talk a little bit about that if you can, man? How do you actually go about and start to forge these relationships and cultivate them to the point that you're consistently able to do business with these people?
Dude, it's an awesome question. So I believe there's two main ways to do it. One, you can do it just cold, right? So, I mean, literally get a list of people that have recently bought properties cash. And then the other way is kind of warm. So networking through investment groups, meetup groups, associations, or maybe even just asking around. Like, you know, locally we have, like, I think in Miami too, you have the young professionals groups.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, there's guys there that are just, you know, they're doing well in business and they're like, you know what, I want to start building a rental portfolio or whatever, right? So that would be like warm networking. So cold, you know, we pull a list and, dude, it starts from the first call. You start finding out what the heck it is that they want. You cater to them. You continue to build a relationship by emailing them and texting them, and maybe bi-weekly jump on the phone and ask how business is going with them. You can just set up an auto alert in your calendar. 99.9% of all wholesalers I know just don't do stuff like that, right? They don't continue to cultivate. They just like do the one call, put them on an Excel sheet, or put them into your CRM and go, hey, I got a buyer's list. You know, it's like, no, you don't. You have something that, you know, could potentially be something. So it's important to make sure that you're just giving value to these people. And at the end of the day, you know, you really just need to be going about business with the intent to add value. And the rest kind of falls into place in my experience, you know,
in my experience as well. I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's Zig Ziglar that has that famous quote that, and I don't want to butcher it, but something along the lines of, if you help enough people get what they want, you'll get exactly what you want and more. Uh-huh. Something to that effect. And I think it's great that you're saying this, because, you know, too many people are out there for them, right? And I mean, let's not get it twisted, right? We're in business obviously to make money and to build a certain lifestyle. But if you lead with just the money, you're probably not gonna have long-term sustainable success, in my opinion. If you put other people's best interests at heart and really figure out what it is that they want, I think that's the true foundation of a business. And it sounds like we're on the same page there.
Yeah, man. It sounds like we're definitely on the same page. I believe people would smell it, you know, when even whether it's a phone call, an email that you compose, you're meeting face to face. If you're in it for you, they smell it. Yep. And the only time they're going to do business with you is if you happen to have a deal that is so smoking hot, right, that they just can't refuse, like a dog with a T-bone steak. And that's not the case all the time. So it just means you're swimming upstream, man. You're just making life harder for you if you're doing that.
Mm-hmm. So what are some steps? I mean, if anybody out there has not done their first deal, you know, one of the mistakes that I think I see people make is that they spend, you know, people talk so much about systems and automation, and I think for good reason, because it's that important. But I think the negative effect to that is that so many people spend time on the tech side and trying to work out, you know, how to make everything push button instead of actually getting in front of people, building relationships, marketing, sending offers, and closing deals, right? So what's the balance between the two? Like, maybe if you can give me your thoughts on, for the person that's just getting started in this business, versus the experienced investor that really just wants to scale their business is, what's the balance between quantity versus quality and, you know, doing everything, rolling up your sleeves and kind of, you know, getting in the trenches versus having systems and automation in place and tools doing certain things for them?
Dude, that's another awesome question. Maybe like the ninja question asker. And you know what, dude? It's hard to come up with an answer that's right for everybody. And so I would say my answer is take a piece of paper and assess who the heck you are, right? I've done that multiple times, and I continue to do that to myself almost every quarter, I would say. Who have I become? Like, where am I? Where's my passion now? What do I like to do now? What do I don't like to do? Yeah. So write down what it is that you, if you like, for example, if you can't stand a single, like if you are the most untech person in the world and, you know, just like, let's say something like a CRM, like something simple like FreedomSoft. And let's just say that is completely daunting. And you've now spent 2 weeks trying to figure it out. That's 2 weeks where you could have just been on the phone speaking to a cash investor. So if, you know, so if you are okay with being on the phone and you are comfortable, or even if you maybe not comfortable, but you know, it's something that you can do, like build relationships with people, but yet you're spending time on the tech, trying to learn how to build a website, trying to learn how to build a landing page, trying to set up a CRM, especially a CRM is like when you don't even need it.
If you're
If you're green, you know, Infusion, I mean, FreedomSoft could be like, you know, bringing a battleship to your kid's bathtub. Overkill, dude. It's like, oh, what are you doing here? You know, it's like, let's get some deals in the pipeline first. So, you know, look, and FreedomSoft just works. It's a phenomenal tool, and there's other tools out there. It's a great tool, but at least have a foundation, right, where you can leverage it. So assess who the heck you are, write it down on a sheet of paper, and don't lose that piece of paper. Like, literally leave it on the desk and tape it to your desk and say, wait a minute, this is what I'm good at. So these are the tasks that I'm going to start doing. Like, I'm going to start making some calls, or maybe I'll start doing this, whatever the heck it is.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, there's a couple things that I want to piggyback on that I love is, number one, it's, you know, you said that once a quarter you reevaluate and you assess yourself. And I think that's a trait of all successful people that I've come across, is that, you know, it's this constant mission for personal development and figuring out how you can improve yourself. And the best investment you can make is in yourself, right? And the second thing is, you know, knowing who you are. And that comes as a result of doing what you do. If you don't know who you are and what you want, how can you possibly go out and take what's yours? Right. For lack of just being so direct, is there's so many people that are out there and they're kind of spinning their wheels. And I think part of the reason that people focus on the tech side, and like you said, they spend 2 weeks in FreedomSoft trying to like figure out how to do this and that, it's because they're avoiding the pain. Right. And Tony Robbins talks about, you know, most humans will do things to either gain pleasure or avoid pain. And I think, you know, picking up the phone and calling cash buyers and getting in front of sellers, to a lot of people, that's painful because there's a fear associated with it. But, you know, staying behind the computer and figuring out the CRM or figuring out the latest and greatest tool, is they perceive it as pleasure because there's no fear associated with it, if that makes any sense.
Oh, absolutely, man. You're tricking yourself to think you're making progress.
There you go.
Yeah. And it's not happening. And so that's really powerful. Like, you're writing down that sheet of paper, what you're good at. Like, if it's, you know, one of the things that you don't like to do, right? So the things you're good at, things you're scared of. And if one of them is talking to buyers, you need to find a way to outsource that, you know? I mean, look, we live in a world now where there's nothing that you can't accomplish without, you know, everything can be done completely virtually. Everything. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, everything, to take that even another level, could be completely done virtually on your iPad and iPhone. You really don't even need to have your laptop anymore, which is crazy. I mean, I just did some deals where I didn't use, specifically did nothing but use my tablet and my iPhone just to prove it.
That's so awesome, man. You know, it makes you think, like, I wonder how real estate investors did it, like, in the 80s and 90s. Like, we have it so easy, right? And yet people are out there complaining.
It's true. It's so true, man. It was a lot of work back in the day,
too. Yeah. Imagine filling out a purchase and sale contract by hand and, like, faxing it or mailing it. It's insane.
And filling a new one for every offer you're making,
oh,
you know?
Oh, man. God bless those guys, I tell you. So, man, you touched on outsourcing. Is there anything in particular that you would recommend people not outsource and keep on their plate, or is everything fair game?
Yeah, you're asking a guy that outsources everything. So, you know, for me, I would say, yeah, there's nothing that you don't outsource except for, because you can't outsource your vision, your management, your vision for your company, where you're going. Like, there's a bigger, like, you have to be, I think you kind of hit on it in the beginning here. You need to, like, self-development is just as important as the real estate business. Like, mm-hmm. learning how to put a contract together or learning how to build a buyer's list, you should be equally working on yourself, because the idea of having a vision and ultimately knowing where you want to create, what kind of entity you want to create and what the purpose of that entity is going to be, is truly going to dictate the actions that you're doing, like the way you build your business.
That's right.
And so when you ask, like, what are you going to outsource? Well, for me, like you did with the intro, look, it's to outsource everything, right? I mean, and for me, like, I'm not trying to, like, I'm okay with letting other people have a chunk of my business where others aren't. Other people are greedy and they'll say, no way, I want to take this and that. And, you know, and whatever I do outsource, I'm going to outsource to an hourly wage or to something like that. And that's a personal decision if someone wants to do that, but I'm not like that, you know?
Okay. So what does your team look like right now? Maybe we can get into that and I'll have some follow-up questions, because I think, and for me personally, you know, I think this is going to be great to kind of hear, you know, how your business is structured, because I'm in the thick of, you know, right now we have a handful of team members and we have, you and I have the same mentality. It's outsource and get as much off my plate so I can focus on the vision and kind of steering the ship. So I'm curious to learn what's the makeup of your business now? What team members do you have in place? And you know, what do you literally have everything in your business outsourced at this point, or kind of where you're at there?
I have the majority, pretty, I would say 90% of it. So I believe everybody needs to start off somewhere. And one of the very first things that somebody should have, in my opinion, is going to be an operational manager, which you can also call a marketing manager. So somebody that's going to help you with all your lead generation. So I have that. I have sales and acquisitions.
Okay.
And then outsource anything that's tech overseas. So I have pretty much a full-time, you know, tech person who does a lot of lead generation and list building stuff for me. So it's a total of four. And really an operational manager would be critical for somebody trying to take that first step, especially if you're serious about the business and have some resources, but you're still working a full-time job. You're going to need somebody to run all this marketing for you, outbound calls, inbound calls, just, you know, put the action plans together for what you're going to do to market for motivated sellers, market for buyers. It's not going to just happen. So a marketing manager or an operational manager is absolutely is priority. For me, I keep everybody in house except for obviously the virtual stuff. So I have an office on the beach here and I like to keep everybody in house.
Okay.
Yeah, it helps me kind of have better control. It's just my personality. Mm-hmm. I like to do that. So.
Okay. Got it. And let me ask you this. So you recommend the operations manager / marketing managers is somebody's first hire. How do you compensate these people? And then I'm really curious to hear when you said, you know, give up a piece of your business, if you could talk a little bit about that, because I think that's something that you're right. A lot of people have, you know, they want to hoard the whole pie, right?
Right.
And I think there's a different school of thought, and it, there's no right or wrong. It's just, you really need to, it kind of goes back to knowing about yourself and what you want, what your vision is, what your goals are. So yeah, what do you, yep. I guess two-part question. Number one is, what do you pay this operations person, this marketing manager, since that's going to be most people's first hire? And then if you could talk about the structure of, you know, giving a piece of your company up versus, you know, just hiring people and incurring some overhead, paying them on the back end, et cetera.
Yeah. So if you're in the beginning, just starting off, your operational manager is going to have more tasks than they would if you had, like, you know, a three-tier system team, right? So if you had an acquisition, sales, and an OM. So for me, right now I pay really well. I pay more than most people in my county pay. So, you know, I'm paying a really good hourly wage plus commissions. So I have both, right? And I've gone up to 20% commissions with certain people.
Okay.
Plus salary. So I pay well now. So the thing is, everybody has to assess what they can accomplish. And look, some people may have like cousins or nephews or somebody within their family or a close friend that would love the opportunity to get into real estate. But yet, let's just say this particular individual has no money right now. Like mm-hmm. To think to pay out like $15 or, you know, $20 an hour would make them like, they're like, oh my God, no way. Well then, you know, find a way to, add, you know, I don't want to say credibility, but find a way to prove to this potential candidate that you are going to help them make money and give them a good chunk of the business.
Got it.
Look at Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak, Bill Gates and brain fart. Who the heck was Bill Gates' partner?
Paul. No. Was it Paul?
Yeah, Paul. Look, everybody had somebody helping them start from ground zero. Mm-hmm. You know, that had good stakes in the business. You make a decision if that's important to you or not.
Yeah. No, man, I love it. And where are you finding these people? Like, is it just going to, you know, Upwork.com? Maybe if you can share some kind of tips and strategies for where people can, where you can find these rock stars.
You're digging a lot out of me that people pay a lot of money to find out.
I love it, man. Hey, man, that's what we're here for, man. Yeah, you gotta bring the goods, dude.
That's it, dude. I love it, man. Dude, it's crazy. You ask like really dang good questions.
Thank you, man.
You're good. All right. So, good questions. So Upwork, I would actually consider what I call freelance virtual assistant or independent VAs. Now, can you hire them and then they eventually do really well and then you sort of find a way to take them off of Upwork and bring them on as an employee and maybe pay them separately, like maybe through PayPal and 1099 them? It's possible. But I like I said, I like to keep people in-house. I like to have a little bit more control. So Indeed.com is a great option.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, a lot of people don't think about this, but think about your own internal networks. What if you were to take a good ad, right? And create an ad for the position you want available and post it on your social media pages.
I love
Facebook, Google, Twitter, and see what kind of responses you get, mm-hmm. right? You might have, all of a sudden, somebody might contact you that you didn't think of. You know, like, oh my gosh, this person, I remember this person, they're part of my history, and you might know more about them than some other candidate. Another good thing is Indeed.com, and that in any social, you know, in any social stuff, but look, you got to really be pre-qualifying these people. You got to have a plan in place to pre-qualify. And then on top of that, once I pre-qualify and pre-screen them,
yeah.
Which, you know, a few things like call this number, leave a voicemail at this number and tell me why you're the number one candidate for this position. Dude, if I get 50 applications, only five people are going to do that. Like every time. So you're down to that five and now you're going to do some interviews, whether it's going to be virtual on Skype or whether it's going to be in person, and give them a personality test, something like Colby or something.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, man, what you just shared right there is worth so much, because if I would have known that 5-6 years ago when I first started hiring people to actually, and it's just something simple that you can implement in your business, but it's going to take you so far, is the thing that Justin just mentioned, is have them jump through some hoops or have them call a specific number, like give them some directions. Because, you know, when I first started placing ads, I would place an ad on Craigslist and I'd have like 40, 50 something people apply. And then what I figured out is that I just created a job for myself. I was spending all this time going through people's resumes and I'm like, there's got to be a better way here. And what you just shared is what unfortunately took me too long to realize, is that if you start to pre-screen people by making them jump through certain hoops, you're gonna cut the applications down from 50, 60 people down to like a handful, if that. Right. And then so then now you have the cream kind of rises to the top. One of the things that I like to have people do is create a 3 to 5 minute video and tell me why you want to work for us and why you'd be a good fit for our team.
Beautiful video idea.
Yeah. You can get so much. You can learn so much about a person and just how they communicate, you know, the thought they've put behind it, if they've done any research into you and your business. And so think about some of the things you can have people do once you hire them. And then, you know, always focus on becoming a better leader, whether it's through personal development, reading books. I mean, that's an area that I'm trying to just gobble up as much great content as I can, because You know, your team is going to be only as strong as the weakest link. And so you have to make sure that to kind of steal what Jim Collins talks about, is getting the right people on the right bus in the right seat. I don't know if you've read that book, Good to Great.
Yes.
Yeah. And he talks about that. And I've made critical mistakes in just hiring the wrong people and having them in the wrong role. And it can kind of set you back. So, yeah, man, I love hearing about the makeup of your team and some of the tips that you shared there. Moving along to a buyer's list, which is something that every investor and wholesaler is going to need. What are some of the strategies that you guys are using to constantly build your buyer's list?
Cool. Yeah. So there's no magic pie in the sky stuff. So one of the things that we'll do is we'll pull recent comps, maybe from a realtor in the area. I'll take those comps, send them to a virtual assistant because I don't want my internal team to spend time doing this. Do the reverse lookup, find who the current owner of that property is, making sure that they're non-entity, that they paid cash, and that was within the last 180 days. And then we send that out to another person to make sure we're getting their phone numbers, not some like reverse lookup stuff where we're getting their crappy, you know, like phone number from when they're 18 years old and now 50. And, you know, we're like literally hire like private detective firms for certain lists to get cell phone numbers. And we make those outbound calls because you can, you know, it's kind of pop right there. Like, hey, you know, pull a list from like, let's say another soft, let's go back to FreedomSoft. You can, it's a really cool tool in there. You can pull, you know, cash buyers in any target, any zip, put your filters in, even the same filters I just said. And then like do a, you know, a broadcast direct mail to them. But I like to find out who the heck you are. And then I want somebody on my team to call and build a relationship with you. Right. And I also want that opportunity to, in essence, vet you. So we'll go through our script. And at the end, all right, John. So by the way, I appreciate all the time we spent together, but in order to get on our list, we need to know that you can perform on what you just told me that you wanted. Here's the email address to send us a proof of funds letter.
I love
I'd say half the time, dude, that we get so much clawback that they may not even make it on the list. Because don't forget, you know, I'm reaching out to like retail cash investors. I'm not reaching out to the fix and flip guy who's everywhere all the time that anybody can see and, you know, needs properties at 60 cents on the dollar, which by the way, I still flip stuff. I still fix and flip. But I always tell our wholesalers, I'm like, if you're trying to make a living off of feeding me deals in a seller's market, it's going to be a little tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's an important distinction, Justin, that you just made is that people need to know is that so your main focus is retail cash buyers, right?
You got it.
Yeah. And what's great about that is that, correct me if I'm wrong, but chances are, at least in my experience, that the retail cash buyers, those people are willing to pay 80, 85, sometimes 90 cents in the dollar because they're going to be living in these properties, right?
Dude, heck yeah. I mean, look, they're already, who the heck is bidding on, look, we're both in Florida. When an REO hits a neighborhood, like let's just say it's a decent neighborhood and a foreclosure hits the market, how many offers are on that thing?
Oh yeah, a ton.
It's like ridiculous, right? So the people that are bidding on those properties, they're not, if it's worth $100,000 and it's going for $105,000, to even have the opportunity to pay $90,000 for that $100,000 property with no competition, quote unquote, dude, they're happy, man. You know? So yeah. So you're looking for them. Now there's, you know, there's new problems dealing with them compared to the seasoned guy, you know, so it's not like it's a yellow brick road, but it, in my opinion, it's the right way to go in this market.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. Well, listen, man, why don't we end? I'll let you go on this. What's the one thing that you would say, you can share with us that people can take and implement in their business to see massive results right away? That's one of the things that we're really striving for here on the Flip Empire Show is let's leave people with one thing that they can go ahead and implement and then just start to see results from right away.
You know what? It's going to go right back to what we just said, because I truly believe that it is a game changer for anybody that's doing 3 to 5 deals a month right now and doing 0 deals. If you're doing a bunch and you want to get to 10, and if you're doing none, you need to focus on the retail cash investors and start building relationships with them. So the point is that you are proving that you can provide, that you do want to add value. Retail cash investors, put in the work that it takes to find them and speak with them.
That's right. And a couple different places you mentioned that they can go find that specifically if somebody's out there and they want to focus just on retail cash buyers.
Yeah, two simple ways. Let's just say you don't have any team. You don't even have a real estate agent to reach out to. You can go get a software scraper like FreedomSoft or Cash Buyers Now by Kent Clothier. So any kind of cash buyer scraper. Or you can get a list for $5 on Fiverr.com. Fiverr.com. And you can type in cash buyers and you'll get plenty of people that have their own softwares and they'll provide you a list. And now it's your job to start digging through that list and start building relationships.
Yeah, there you go. And I think that's the difference that, you know, between you and most other people out there is most people are driving these, you know, buyers to a squeeze page and they're just collecting emails and it's kind of a quantity versus quality approach. And I love the fact that you've kind of flipped it on its head and you're making sure that when these people come in, you know, you're calling them and then you're having them actually kind of qualify themselves to you by sending a proof of funds versus most people are just, again, it's a quantity approach. Let's just kind of collect as many emails as possible, send out our marketing and who knows what's going to come of it.
Right. You got it, dude.
That's awesome, man. And just to recap, you talked about FreedomSoft and Find Cash Buyers Now. If you guys go to flipempire.com/FreedomSoft or flipempire.com/cash buyers, you guys can actually can get to the resources that Justin just talked about. And that's actually what we use in our business as well. But yeah, to end on this, Justin, I want to direct people, if they want to find out more about you and your business, let us know where they can find you. But one of the things that I wanted to thank you for is providing our listeners here with an assignment of contract, a free assignment of contract. So if you guys go to flipempire.com/assignment, flipempire.com/assignment. You can go ahead and download the assignment of contract that that Justin's giving away, man. So I really appreciate you giving that resource to our group here.
Dude, absolutely, man. It's the same assignment contract we use daily. So
awesome. Awesome. So yeah, I mean, where can we reach out to you? And if people have any questions or they want to find out, you know, about anything you might have to offer, where can they touch base with you and your team?
Well, hit me up first on Facebook, Justin Wilmot. So Facebook.com/Justin Wilmot. You can get me at justinwilmot.com. Hit me up on Facebook. Let's see. Hit me up on Twitter. And hit me up. Let's see. Also 10 Hour Wholesaler on Facebook. Hit me up at 10 Hour Wholesaler on Facebook.
10 Hour Wholesaler. Awesome. Well, Justin, man, I really appreciate your time, man. Thank you for kind of, you know, peeling back the curtain, so to speak. And yeah, man, I hope you and I, this is actually, you know, we got a chance to talk before the podcast masterclass here, but I look forward to staying in contact with you, man. If I can do anything to add value to you and your business, man, just let me know, reach out to me.
Dude, I got a feeling we'll definitely keep in touch, bud, for sure.
Awesome, man. Well, listen, guys, I really appreciate your time listening in here to this masterclass. I look forward to bringing you the next one. We'll talk soon.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 months or less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.